What up, everybody? Welcome back to another Wednesday edition of AI Roundup. Today we're going to be talking about how AI is to humans as the meteor was to dinosaurs. Ominous. Plus, people watermark their memes. Is it past time to start watermarking AI-generated content? And a best practices guide from OpenAI for ChatGPT is here to supercharge your prompt engineering. All right, everybody, welcome back to AI Roundup. I'm your host, Phil Buck, and we're going to be diving into a few exciting news articles, pretty ominous stuff, and we're also going to be using a resource this week instead of explicitly a use case like we normally do. Before we jump into all that, I do want to tell you about some other events that just occurred on the MSP Media Network. In case you missed it, we had 13th episode, so it's their 1 year anniversary special episode. It was a really cool episode to see a lot of the guests come back into the show and tell some new stories that we didn't get from them the first time. So make sure to check out Aaron Bolton's show 38 at 38. Also, in case you missed it, we had the Tech Bar live at IT Nation Secure. Always very exciting when they get to meet up the crew from the Tech Bar with the MSP Geek crew. So make sure you check that. That was just out yesterday evening. And then, as always, on Tuesdays and Fridays, MSP Dispatch. I always talk about it, but I wanted to make sure you go check it out because I got to host it again. Yeah, on Tuesday. So make sure you go support me, boost those stats, slap the like button. Anyway, let's get right into our first story, a big picture story about how AI means the extinction for humanity. Okay, so first up, we're going to be looking at a Medium post by Open Data Science. New statement signed by the likes of OpenAI's Sam Altman warns of AI's extinction risk. The Center for AI Safety, a nonprofit organization based in San Francisco, has issued a statement warning of the existential risk posed by artificial intelligence, likening its potential harm to that of a nuclear apocalypse. The statement, supported by several notable figures, such as OpenAI's Sam Altman, DeepMind's CEO Demis Hassabis, MIT's Max Tegman, and Microsoft's CTO Kevin Scott, urges policymakers to prioritize mitigating these risks to protect humanity. Damn. This call for attention to AI safety echoes a previous plea from March where 1,000 tech leaders and scientists called for a halt in the development of language models more powerful than GPT-4, citing potential unforeseen impacts of such technology. The latest statement strongly emphasizes the need to treat the risk of extinction from AI as a global priority, on par with other large-scale societal threats like pandemics and nuclear war. The Center for AI Safety advocates for an open discussion about these risks, warning against letting severe AI risk be overshadowed by other aspects of the AI debate. Sam Altman and OpenAI are promoting this perspective by announcing grants aimed at fostering democratic approaches to AI with 10 grants of $100,000 each. Globally, the urgency for AI regulation is being acknowledged, with countries such as the United States, China, and EU member nations gradually implementing measures to address issues including privacy and fraud. You know, but speaking of fraud, our next story is going to deal directly with that, as the EU is pressuring some big companies to start watermarking AI-generated materials. All right, so this is a fun one because we've actually talked about this earlier in the show, probably episode 2. Shout out to Johan Daniel, who came onto the show to talk about just this subject matter. And in an article from The Guardian by Lisa O'Carroll, Google and Facebook urged by the EU to label AI-generated content. The European Union has called on social media giants, including Google and Facebook, to immediately start labeling content and images produced by artificial intelligence. The EU has also warned Twitter of impending sanctions if it fails to comply with new digital content laws effective on August 25th. Elon Musk's Twitter recently exited the EU's voluntary code of practice and could face a penalty of up to 6% of its global revenue, that's approximately $145 million, or be banned across the EU if it doesn't adhere to the Digital Services Act. To further counter Russian disinformation, the EU has requested Facebook and other companies to allocate more resources to fact-checking in minority language content in Eastern Europe, where Russian disinformation campaigns are deemed a threat. The EU is recognized as a global leader in regulating tech companies and is currently crafting separate laws on AI. Twitter's withdrawal from the voluntary code of practice has been interpreted as a confrontational move and has drawn criticism from EU officials. The EU's approach to labeling AI content involves creating meaningful labels that can be easily recognized by users while scrolling through content. These labels should clarify that the content was not produced by humans, potentially using phrases like, "This is the robot talking." Okay? EU Vice President Vera Jourova noted the potential dark side of AI's ability to rapidly generate fake events and voices. She revealed that she had recently asked Google CEO Sundar Pichai if Google had the technology to detect fake news, to which he responded affirmatively, while stating that they were continuing to develop their technology. So, you know, I did say that earlier on in the show, we talked with Johan Daniel about just this move to, you know, try to designate things if they are AI generated. And I think just a watermark is a nice idea. It doesn't really drive home to, you know, the ways that we're going to actually be able to detect this stuff. Because if you've noticed things like when we make videos with avatars, AI avatars on this show, they put a little logo, you know, DID, or if you generate videos from runways, Gen 2 or Gen 1 even, they put a little, you know, logo down in the corner. It's super easy to just crop that stuff out, which is something Johan and I talked about. So this stuff is very superficial. It's definitely not going to do the trick because, you know, people have been removing watermarks forever. I mean, that's why I reference memes at the top of the show, is because people grab, you know, stock photography off the internet all the time that has watermarks. They crop it out. They use Photoshop, you know, layer styles to get rid of them. And just adding a little corner, like, well, for instance, Adobe Firefly. If you generate stuff with that and then download it, it's got a little thing in the corner. It's super easy to get rid of that stuff. I think probably what we need to see is more of a embedded metadata that's, you know, honestly, now that I think about it, that's probably pretty easy to remove as well. But it would probably be less obvious to more people that the metadata is there and embedded than just to simply, you know, open, you could just open your iPhone and zoom in on the image a little bit and save it. So this is interesting. You know, where are we going with all this? I don't know yet, but I'm really glad to see this kind of conversation going on about it. Really, I hope that we will figure out some best practices for the way that we can use AI generated content. And speaking of best practices for AI generative stuff, OpenAI just put out a guide on best practices for ChatGPT. So let's take a look. All right, so this is a little bit of a departure. It's not exactly a use case, but it falls into that realm, I'd say. It's maybe a little bit more of a resource for you all. I think that MSPs are always fans of best practices guides, and straight from OpenAI's own docs and guides, we got on Monday a GPT best practices guide. So I'm just going to hit some of the highlights here for you. Hopefully there's some takeaways you can use if you're using ChatGPT to, you know, get a little bit better prompts. First up, this guide presents 6 strategies for obtaining improved results from GPT. First up, write clear instructions. This guide suggests being as specific as possible in instructions to GPTs, including details in the query, adopting a persona for the model, using delimiters, specifying the steps to complete a task, and determining the desired length of the output. And you know, honestly, I don't think I've done half of those things since I've been prompting GPT. Next up, provide reference text to avoid GPT's inventing answers, especially for esoteric topics or for citations and URLs. Users can provide a reference text for GPT to refer to while generating responses. I actually have done this and I've found it to be supremely improving of my results. Next up, split complex tasks into simpler subtasks. For complex tasks, Breaking them down into simpler tasks can reduce error rates. This can be accomplished by creating a workflow of simpler tasks where the outputs of earlier tasks become inputs for later tasks. I like this. It's like a Russian doll approach. Okay, next is give GPTs time to quote-unquote think. GPTs can make fewer reasoning errors when given time to work out an answer. Asking for a chain of reasoning before an answer can help improve accuracy. Next up, it says use external tools. The guide suggests compensating for weaknesses of GPTs by utilizing the outputs of other tools. For instance, a text retrieval system can provide relevant documents, and a code execution engine can help GPTs perform math and execute code, which if you don't know, GPT it can't really do those things, but some of the plugins that they have, or at least that are coming, are built in and can actually help you with this, so keep that in mind. Next up, test changes systematically, and I think this is a huge one. The guide advises testing any modifications systematically to ensure overall improvements. Users can define a comprehensive test suite to evaluate changes, and if you have an approach for this, you know, please sound off in the MMN Discord. We'd love to hear how you're testing your results, because I really feel like at this point, at least, GPTs are pretty useless if you're not doing that. And to wrap it up, it says each strategy can be implemented with specific tactics, with the guide providing examples for each. Users are encouraged to experiment and devise their own creative tactics. And for more information, visit the OpenAI Cookbook, which contains example code and also links to third-party resources such as prompting libraries and tools, prompting guides, video courses, and papers on advanced prompting to improve reasoning. All right, guys, so now I'm thinking you're set up to become a master prompt engineer. So let's see what you come up with. If you use this guide and you find improved results for your GPT experiments, I'd love to hear about it. I've already given you the link to the MMN Discord. So, you know, hit us up there and let us know how you're doing. All right, everybody, that is it for today's AI Roundup. Thank you for tuning in once again. Make sure you follow us on social media everywhere at MSP Media TV. If you have any questions, you can email us, news@mspmedia.tv, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-NETWORK. All right, guys, I always love being here with you, and just make sure you mark your calendar for Wednesdays at 10 a.m., because I'll be back next week with another one. So until then, take care.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.